Isn't it true that in life we're always learning? No matter what age we are, we're always learning. A young fella said to me the other day, he says, "Sure, you never stop learning." And that's right. And you know, we can learn so much from each other. We can learn so much from other people. When someone is successful in an area of life, whether it be sports, business, whatever it may be, we can learn so much from that person, from their experience, how they became successful, what made them successful. And the flip side of that, someone who has maybe got it wrong a wee bit in life, someone who has made it, maybe made a mistake, we can learn from them too. We can learn maybe how it went wrong for them, why it went wrong. And to some degree at times, you can almost feel a little of someone's pain. And you can feel, well, I'll try and not make that mistake. But unfortunately, for all of us at some point or other, we will learn and we will learn the hard way. Chris learned the hard way tonight for trying to steal the children's sweet. He ended up with none. And I want to speak to you tonight just for a little time under the heading of learning the hard way. I personally, through life, many times have learned the hard way. Sometimes they're minor things, other times they're more major things. When I was at school, there's a lot of subjects I didn't do terribly well in. One of them was physics. Me and it seemed to part company from about the first class. And you know, I pity the person that had to mark my GCSE physics paper. But you know, I left school and I hadn't learned much physics at all. But a number of years after I left school, one Friday evening in the winter time, I learned an awful lot of physics in a very short space of time. Because you see, when you take a Vauxhall car with little tread in the tires, and you put five young men into this car, and you drive it down a country road with a fairly greasy surface, at a speed in excess of the speed limit. What that speed was, we don't really know. But when then you go down this country road and you attempt to maneuver around quite a sharp corner, and in the middle of the corner at the edge of the road is the loveliest, healthiest, strongest big tree. I learned a lot that night in a short space of time about speed, gravity, and sudden impact. And the result of this whole equation was you had five young men left fairly stiff and sore for a day or two, and the driver feeling like quite an idiot. I don't think I need to tell you who the driver was. But anyway, you could say I learned the hard way that night. But that night I also learned that there is a God in heaven. And may I just add, I can now call him my Father. Had mercy on me that night. He was gracious to me, because if it were not for God's grace in that particular evening, my life and the lives of a number of other people might have changed forever. Learned the hard way. And you know, we read in this passage here of two sons who in different ways learned a lesson the hard way. But it's worth noting that neither of the two sons in this parable are the key people. The key person in this passage is the Father. The Father is the key. Because if it were not for the grace and the love and the forgiveness of a Father, there would be no happy ending here. There would be absolutely no hope for a lost son. What about this lost son, this younger son? In verse 12 and 13, how did he learn the hard way? Well, as we've already heard, he asked his father for his share of the inheritance. His father lovingly gave it to him. And not long after that, the younger son, he got together all he had. He set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth and while living. Now, let's try to catch the thoughts of this younger son here. Here he was now a wealthy young fella, or a wealthy fella. And if you can imagine him standing on the back doorstep, looking out to the horizon, this big world before him, so much attractive before him, a world saying to him, I have so, so much to offer you. And a wealthy man saying to it, well, I have so much I can give to you. No doubt he would have had many friends with his wealth. And as we know from the passage, he had many female friends. He'd perhaps have bought plenty of wine, plenty of partying. He might have been the heart of every party. Might have been the sort of chap that a party wouldn't have livened up till he would have appeared. You know, he could have, you'd have said, was living the dream. Loving life, as they say. Perhaps if he had been about today, he would have one of those T-shirts, you know, that say, eat, sleep, party, repeat. Any of you in the choir got a T-shirt like that? Yeah. Gee, and I think you have one, haven't you? But you know, if he was, that's the sort of thing he might have had on. You, as I thought about him, the phrase that came to mind was, the world was his oyster. And what does that mean? Well, he was in a position to really take hold of whatever opportunity the world had to offer to him. He could go anywhere. He could do anything. Can I just pause there for a wee minute and throw out a wee question? Young person, could that be you tonight? Maybe you've known a bit of freedom in your life recently, a bit more independence. Maybe you're at that stage where you've passed the driving test and you've been introduced to more and more of the world. Very often when you're younger, you're like that picture of the chick under the hen's wing. You're oblivious to so much that goes on around you. But as that little chick goes out, there's so much to do, there's so much to explore. And yet, there's so much that could harm you. We must never forget that there's an enemy who's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We must never forget that. But perhaps that's maybe you tonight and your love and life. Maybe that's your motto just at the minute. We'll eat, we'll sleep, we'll party, and we'll do the whole thing again. Well, you know, I can say tonight, it's not my place to judge you, and that is not at all what I'm doing, because I'm not that much older than you, and I know what that's like. I've experienced it, and I have made many's a mistake. I simply want to just warn you tonight, I just simply want to try to encourage you tonight that we might learn from this young lad who learned the hard way. In verse 14, we read that after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. The tide has turned here. This man that had everything, he began to be in need. And that phrase comes to mind, you don't miss the water till the well runs dry. And that's so true. And by that time, it's too late. And perhaps maybe this fella at this stage was thinking back, you know, if only I hadn't spent the money foolishly on this, if only I hadn't spent the money foolishly on that, I might have had it to have even fed myself. He had nothing. He had squandered the whole thing. So much so that he had to go to a man of that country and he hired himself to feed pigs. Now, for a Jew, Jews considered pigs to be unclean animals. And for a Jewish man to be in amongst the pigs, feeding pigs, this was the lowest of the low. This was truly rock bottom, humiliating. Could this really be the same man? Verse 16 tells us he longed to even fill his stomach with the food, the pods the pigs was eating. But it says something very, very interesting. No one gave him anything. Think about that. This man that had so many friends at a time, perhaps, and yet there was nobody there. He was hungry. Where were his friends at this point? Where were they at to help him when he really needed them most? Could this be the same guy? Unfortunately, it was. And young people, you will learn as you go through life, there's plenty of people to help you, to fall. There's plenty of people I'll be with you on the way down. There's not so many I'll be there to help you up. Not so many there to encourage you. There's many as a poor soul right throughout the whole world tonight battles with addiction, whether it be alcohol, whether it be drugs, it could be many as a thing. And you know, with an alcoholic, there's many as a person will happily sit round the bar with them. There's many as a person will buy their rounds and have a great time. But when that poor soul's left in the light of day and their life destroyed, there's not so many that'll come to draw alongside. There's many as a boy will smoke a joint with you. But whenever you're left hooked on something, addicted, and all sorts of trouble, and the lowest point, there's not so many you'll find will be coming to sit with you, coming to encourage you. Let me just pause again and ask, could this be you tonight? Maybe you have experienced a bit of the world. Maybe you've been out, and maybe you have at times, you've lived the dream. But perhaps through one circumstance or another, the dream has come to an end. Maybe life for you isn't what it was. It was once great fun. The whole thing was a bit of a party. But maybe even tonight, you're in need. Perhaps there's a need in your life tonight. And you feel that there's absolutely nobody to help you. There's nobody can help you with it. I want to point you to one who can. I want to point you to one who knows exactly what you're going through, the Father. Even though he may seem at this point in your life afar off, he knows exactly, and I'll tell you, there's nothing too difficult for him. You know, I have found in my own experience that God often can allow us to be in need, to bring us then to our senses. I found that even in becoming a Christian, God had to bring me to a place of need. Then he brought me to his senses, and then he brought me to himself. But the Father, the arms are open tonight. I wonder, have you experienced just what it is to know those open arms of the Father? But in verse 17, this son, he came to his senses. I love this. When he came to his senses. And you know, he said, how many even of my father's hired men are in a better position than I am? How many of my father's men have their food to spare? And here I am, I'm starving to death. And so he had to do a U-turn. And you know, there's that lovely picture here of the U-turn that represents repentance. That turning around, he had to say, look, put his hands up and say, this, I have done wrong here. I have to turn from this. And I want to tell you tonight, that took guts for this young man. That took real guts. And at times it takes guts to turn around from something, to leave something in your life and to head to God. That's not easy at times. And you know, can you just imagine this younger son coming, traipsing next home and his head down, and this rigmarole going through in his mind about becoming even his father's hired man. He knew he wasn't even worthy to be called his father's son, so he thought, I'll go home and I'll eat even if I could be like one of his hired men. And could you imagine him coming with his head down, feeling so sorry, feeling so silly? And yet, here in verse 20, we have a lovely picture. While he was still a long way off, the father could see him. Perhaps the father was up on the roof of his house waiting, even maybe for days, waiting and waiting and waiting on his son to return. And yet it says then that when the father saw him, the father had compassion. There's no such a thing as saying, look who's coming. Oh, well, we'll make him grovel a bit. There's nothing. The father ran. The compassion, the grace, the forgiveness here of the father. I just find that's absolutely amazing. The father ran to him. He put his arms round him. He kissed him. Now, could you imagine this son coming home reeking of the pigs. Could you imagine even what that must have been like, but yet nothing? Think of all the heartache. Think of all the pain that this son had caused his father. But yet the father had forgiven him. The father had compassion. And then as the son, he begins to say, look, Father, I have sinned against you, against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And yet the father, he just stops him in his tracks. He says, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. That's absolutely amazing. And you know, when I read that, that reminds me so much in me. Just a sinner, a filthy sinner, and yet the best robe been brought. That robe that you read about in Isaiah 61, that robe of Christ's righteousness, just been clothed in that robe, just covering over my filthiness and been presentable in the sight of the Father. That, what a picture, folks. What a picture that is. And so then the celebrations began. The lost had been found. The younger son had learned the hard way that there's no place in this world compares to being safe in the arms of the Father. It caused him pain, it caused him suffering, but he learned the hard way. Are you safe in those mighty arms tonight? We can learn just very briefly here, my time is almost gone, but we can learn also about the older son, because he learned the hard way too. Verse 25 tells us he was out in the field and he heard this whole commotion going on, and he came and he asked one of the servants, what's going on? And the servant, he says, your brother, he's come back again, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Look down at verse 28 at the older brother's response here. He became angry and he refused to go in. His father came out and he pleaded with him. But what does he say to his father? He says, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. I find that interesting what he says here about slaving. You sort of get when you read this, you don't really think he was enjoying what he was doing, do you? And you know, this really challenged me whenever I was preparing this, because there's a word here for us as Christians. Because here you had a son who has been faithful to his father. He has been busy at his father's house, busy at his father's work. Which obviously, yes, should have been commended, of course. But he didn't in any way reflect his father's heart. You see, instead of it being a father-son relationship, it was more like nearly an employee to an employer. And there's a difference there. There's a difference. And you know, we can be like this, even servant in the church at times. We can be very busy. But you know, very often, we can know so little about the Father's heart. And I was challenged, you know, that now coming into the summertime, and maybe a lot of the organizations taking a break now, just to really get to know something more of the Father's heart. Seek to be close to the Father, just to get a glimpse of the Father's heart. And I believe that when we do that, and when we then are involved in work as Christians here in the church, when we reflect something of the Father's heart, that makes all the difference. It really does. It's the world of difference. You know, our ministers always use the illustration. It's very good. Becoming a Christian, it's not religion. It's relationship. The older son here, he demonstrates a religion. But you know, we learned the hard way. It's not really. It's that relationship. It's first that father-son relationship. And that's the key. But he had to learn it the hard way. And I trust that as we look at this older son, we may learn lessons and not just learn it the hard way. But just as I close, I just feel tonight that there's many in this house that your heart's burdened because of maybe someone who's not saved. Maybe it's a husband. Maybe it's a wife. Maybe it's a son, a daughter, a mother, a father. And perhaps even tonight as you sit, you're down about it. Well, I want to point you to verse 20. Take a look at verse 20 and please hold on to this. Please take this gem home with you. It was while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And maybe as you look at that person in your life tonight, in your heart, you would have to admit that yes, they are a long way off. There's maybe no getting around that. But I want you to see here, and I want you to believe tonight, that our God, who's one, he's a specialist in seeing the far off. He specializes in seeing the lost. And he specializes in bringing the lost and needy to their senses and then drawing them to himself. I trust you'll really take that home with you now. Be encouraged. Whenever you're, maybe at times you've given up, maybe there's someone in your life and you've nearly given up praying for them. It just seems hopeless. You keep praying. You hold on to the one who sees those who are far off. There's only one place, dear friends, to be tonight, and that is in the Father's arms. And I trust that none of us here will learn that the hard way. Let's just bow in prayer.